Well, this is Rhonda with National Liberty Alliance. We're on our Tuesday night, November the 7th, 6 p.m. Eastern Committee of or Welcome Committee call. So welcome, everybody. All right, James, if you would please continue.
Well, I would just say to any new members, they should go immediately to the first page of NLA and download that Sheriff's Handbook, which is called a draft now. I understand it's being proofed, but I imagine it'll be pretty close. And I think that contains all the information anybody needs to know about how to observe the law, proceed with the law, and uphold the Constitution.
I agree. I've read, I think, nine pages, and I can't wait to... I read a little bit at a time because I'm so busy, but it's very good.
It's
amazing. I've read it a couple of times.
As I started into about the fourth or fifth page, I said, you know, I think this is as important as Thomas Paine's Common Sense pamphlet. Do you know what that was?
Oh, it's pretty darned important.
Well, I'm not sure what year that came out. I think it was early 1700s. Does anybody else know that?
It was well before the actual
war started over the declaring independence, you know, but just about everybody understood what it meant. And I think when you read the sheriff's booklet, I don't see how you can't understand exactly what the constitutional law is and also what has been going on, what is wrong. And, you know, just... if everybody would go into court on whatever issues that they're being confronted with and use this information and use the Constitution, who was it? Ollie said last night that, you know, he thinks that they're at a tipping point and it's time to apply the pressure.
That's right. Very good.
Domino theory, so.
And just an FYI, January 9, 1776 is when Common Sense was published.
Are you serious? So it was right at the point of the Declaration of Independence?
Yeah, that's what it says. On this day in history, January 9, 1776. So.
All right, well then that's an affirmation of the Declaration of Independence, and this is why we just went through the experience we went through. So, of course, it was 13 years before they actually did the constitutional work or got it written into law. That's just it. That's the law. That's the law of our country, you know. And all these statute laws are just
controlling.
There's where Brent Winter says, you know, that they are sending out swarms of agents to eat out our substance. And absolutely correct. I've used that term several times with people since I heard Brent Winter say it, trying to educate people about exactly why their life is so difficult. We're having all our resources taken right out of all resources really property. That can be money, you know, it can be your own labor. And it's all being, you know, removed from us as fast as we can produce it. And that's why, you know, income levels have gone down, not up. And did anyone listen last night when the lady from Florida? Okay, there was a lady from Florida who came on.
Yes, I listened to everything. Yes, I listened to her.
All right, she said, "Mr. Winters, why were you why was your license to practice law revoked twice?" You know, and the way she said, I was just going to absolutely listen last night. I was very tired. And that immediately got me to cue in and didn't get to say anything. There were a lot of other people talking. But, you know, I wanted to make the statement that, and Brent Winters did a good job. It took him a second to recover from that. But he said, "You're not a good person." And, you know, I wanted to say, the lady has just said, "I'm a good person, but while I'm being a good person, I want to to what is the term as one of the Ten Commandments, bear false witness against thy neighbor. And basically she was saying that about Brent Winters. And I think she had a plan there, although she was talking friendly. It's like to the inexperienced listener of NLA, they wouldn't understand that question, and they'd go, oh, he was a license was revoked twice. But if anybody who's an experienced listener would understand immediately what the Bar Association is and the people revoking the license, they don't want somebody like Brent Winters there with
right.
constitutional law. And so it was an unfair question. And, you know, it is. It's bearing false witness against Brent Winters.
It's forcing him to try to disprove a negative also.
And, but he did a good job, and then she...
Yeah, he did.
And John did a good job trying to be fair about it and offered her to call back. And so then I decided not to say anything. So because I don't want to be, I'm very forward and upfront, but I don't want to, you know, be argumentative. And especially newcomers in L.A., you know, I don't want to make them feel unwelcome. You know, I don't know how many times that lady's listened. And we want new members.
Mm-hmm.
But we want everybody to understand and be fair, you know, that in that whole conversation was morality and depth of spirituality. What this is all about, you know, and she was making a point of separation of church and state, but she was missing the point, you know. It's all of us have this a certain depth of spirituality, or some of us don't that are non-believers in God, and they are out there. I'm not one of them. I totally believe in the force and the will of the Creator, and that's
so
why
do
I.
Yeah, and the way he handled it, the way Brett Winters handled it, good. About he says, yes, there is a God or something, but maybe it'll open her mind up, you know, maybe to choose God. I don't know, but I think she hung up, but.
Yeah, I didn't. That's where I think I recognize people for what they are pretty quick by the direction they're going, and I think she had an agenda there. So, because Brent Winters, really, I've just started thinking that the last few days, he probably is as close as anyone in this present time who has the level of knowledge to talk about things. As possibly the founding fathers were talking about things in the 1700s. You know, he's a wealth of information.
Well, and he's been on both sides, having been or still being a lawyer. He's seen everything from both sides, too, along with his research.
He's a historian,
And he's a historian, too.
So...
and. Go ahead.
And on another subject, has anyone heard how Jan's wife is doing?
No, I didn't know anything was wrong.
You know, the power of prayer. I've said a couple of prayers. Or I also have a friend who ended up in the hospital last week, collapsed lung and pneumonia, and I said a couple of prayers for him. And that's all we can do. So that's the connection to the Creator is, you know, I think if you ask for help and you believe it will come, it shows up very fast. If you begin to doubt it or try to, you know, figure out a way to help it come that can keep it from happening in its proper form, I believe just say a prayer, believe in it, that it will happen, and prepare for it. So. I've seen that recently in my own situation in New Mexico. I'm not going to go into it because it's an ongoing event, but it's why I involved myself in this stuff is because I've seen the power of truth and morality. So
That's
I saw
right.
the the number of members jumped a little bit in the last few days.
Good.
That was good.
Very
good.
Didn't
it go over 6,400?
Good.
And,
you say it did, or you're wondering if it did?
I think it went up, you know, for a long time it seemed like it was sitting there. I guess there were some members that maybe were dropping out, and that kept it from going up.
It was 63, and now it's probably, like, I haven't looked yet, but like you said, it's probably 64 now. I've noticed by making some of these calls that, you know, some people, they're just curious or something. They're really, like that last guy I talked with, I don't know how it works, but, you know, I called him, but I don't think he's a member, but he just said he was referred to by Roger Dalville. So then I looked up the website that he gave me, and, you know, I investigate everything, so I looked it up. You know, he's trying to form the grand jury also, but he doesn't have anything close to what we have. So, and then I called this other guy. His name's Edward, and he's a civics teacher. And I told him about this call tonight, you know, to get on this call tonight if he could, and about the other calls that we have, you know, looked at the newsletter. You know, I told him where the newsletter was and under news, and we had a good conversation. So, and he's going to take the Constitution course. You know, it's all about education. That's the only way to save America.
Wow.
Yeah, to remove yourself from ignorance, you know.
That's right.
And would anybody like to hear how I found out about National Liberty Alliance?
Yes, go right ahead.
All right. Beginning in 2013, Sandy Hook, I tuned into the Alex Jones show, that InfoWars Prison Planet. Previous to that, I'd heard for years about this man, Alex Jones, and it was always like sci-fi, you know, late night talking about flying saucers and whatnot, so I never paid attention to it. And then the Sandy Hook event occurred, and then President Obama came on TV and said, we've got to do something about the Second Amendment. And so I first show I listened to Alex Jones, they were, you know, topic of the day were those events. And got totally interested in Alex Jones, and I began to blog, you might say furiously, lots of blogs. I did 2-page, 3-page long blogs on his site. And after 2013, this went on, 2014, this went on. And at about the second year point, somebody just answered to one of my blogs. Every once in a while somebody have a comment, but somebody said, you should look up National Liberty Alliance. And I wrote it on a piece of paper. It was a building plan that I had drawn and didn't look it up. But a year ago, almost at this time, when I got a traffic ticket for refusing to pay auto insurance to what I consider a corrupt auto insurance corporations. I don't want to support that. I got a ticket, and these are the events of the Creator. It's like things are just handed to me, and just all of a sudden that drawing, that building plan suddenly showed up. I have tons of papers everywhere all the time, and boom, there it was in the upper corner was National Liberty Alliance, and so I looked and liked what I saw almost immediately. So, as I said, as it says on my page, as a member, it says, why did you join National Liberty Alliance? I said, because it's music to my ears. And I've been searching for people to organize with since about 2006. Couldn't find them.
And that's very difficult.
Well, people are just not that serious about what's going on. John talked about it a lot last night, how they just want to be entertained, but they don't want to really do anything, I'll call it anything worthwhile. And,
it's called commitment, dedication. You know, you can never, you know, it's,
it has to be in your blood, you know.
Well, I think to help save America. Also, everybody wants somebody else to take care of the problems.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they're the ones having some of those problems.
They never figure
they can be part of the solution because they don't want to put in the time and the effort.
Yes, that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm. More than once I've contacted an NLA member that I heard talking about a problem, and I would say, well, I know some things about that, and I'd like to contact him, and I would. And you'd never get a chance to really tell him anything about, well, I found this law, or I found this court case, you know, to try to help them along. They just immediately go too far into their problem and their life story. And, you know, it doesn't seem to accomplish anything, and that's sort of, you know, they just want to say, here's my car, it's broken, you fix it for me, you know.
Let me have it back when you're done.
That's right, you know. And that is not going to save our country, because that's one person trying to do it. So instead of if 10 million people would all, you know, go to court, file a lawsuit, everybody does have a grievance. A lot of people don't even realize they're being robbed of their property and their resources and their valuables.
You have to want to change things, and, you know. Mine was a traffic ticket, too. You know, that's why I came to National Liberty Alliance.
And a lot of people are so complacent because they know that there's general problems out there, although they aren't experiencing any of them personally. And until they're personally enmeshed in it, it's just somebody else's problem.
You're right, Rhonda.
So, and it makes it difficult when you don't have people to help that aren't also the needy.
Yeah, that's right. What was your ticket about?
Mine? Speed traps. Just I'm a very good driver and all, they were speed traps. And so I went to court every one of them because I didn't want it on my points on my driver's license or insurance. But it got on there. It got on my... they reduced it down to 9. It was 35 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone or something. Just speed trap, just corruption. So, they said, we'll reduce it. District attorney, okay, that's fine. Okay, 9 miles an hour under. Okay, fine. And then I got my insurance. I had to renew my insurance. And then my insurance went up. Liberty Mutual, so I said, I can't have this. Okay, I got to go to another insurance company because I'm not paying it. I'm not going to pay that, you know, so I'm paying for like 3 points for another 2 years or something. So I went to another insurance company, and I pay $121 a month now on my auto insurance.
Yeah, I can believe that. You know, and the problem is from my experience, way back in 2004 when I was 15 years old, I was an avid bicyclist. Kept me in good shape. You know, that's at age, that's 2004, age 52. Since I was 12 years old and I won a bicycle contest in Albuquerque, New Mexico as a kid, I always loved bicycling.
Nice.
In 2004, I get hit from behind by a motorist traveling 75 miles an hour. And suffered $100,000 in physical injuries. Never been injured in my life. Never been in a hospital in my life because perfectly healthy. I was looking at some of my grandfather's personal effects tonight. He lived to be 97. He died. He was actually still as vigorous man traveling cross country on the train when he died.
Wow.
And so. Really good health in my family, and suddenly I've got broken bones, vascular damage. I'm in an ambulance going to the hospital, and seeing the corruption and the malpractice in the hospital immediately.
Correct.
you know, they let bones set out of place that, you know, a horse doctor knew how to not do that. And then you go for legal help, and they start hiding the truth to protect the doctors. And it went from that to then the experience of lawyers and trying to get personal injury, you know, damage recovery. There was a $1 million policy this motorist had who had injured me, and he was cited and, you know, at fault, and yet 7 years and 2 months would go by before I would get remedied at all. And so I just saw there, you know, that the medical industry is corrupt, lawyers are corrupt, and insurance companies are corrupt.
Big and, pharma.
My local district court, I was before the same judge for 6 or 7 years. I thought he was very fair. He's retired now. But I was in federal court, and I saw some subversive activities there, which I'm not going to go into. But, you know, in the end, before that, I was paying for two automobiles full coverage, like $300 every 6 months for years. If I remember right, it was even less than that at one time. And the minute the settlement was made, suddenly my rates go to like $900 for those two vehicles. And I realized, well, even though it wasn't my fault, they want me to pay for their damages, the insurance company. And it's all rigged and set up that way through the states that they get away with that, because I now know it's all a corporate megalopoly where they're protecting their interests and taking our resources. In other words, it's going to be like John D. Rockefeller, Standard Oil learned, it's going to be profitable no matter what I have to do, you know. If I have to eliminate all the competition, I'm making money here and nobody else is. And it's the same thing all over again.
That's correct. That's correct. Did you ever, first of all, I went to Payman something, Freedom Law School, because they had like a Tuesday night, every Tuesday night call or something. So I talked to him and asked him a question about it. And I got fed up. I got mad. I mean, I didn't let him see it, but I said, okay. Marty's got to take the bull by the horns. Okay, he's not going to help me, you know. He said something, and then, you know, he wanted to probably, he thought it was about the money. You have to pay on his, you know, to learn different courses and stuff. And I wasn't going to do it. So then somehow I'm always searching and always researching and all, and I stumbled upon National Levy Alliance. So, so here I am.
Good for you.
I think,
good for you.
2015, June 2015.
Well, all have been working at it a lot longer than me, but I've been about three quarters of a year now, so and I plan to stick it out to the end. So
this is a good organization, and it's the only answer, you know. And it's all about education, and these documents are very powerful. We just have to, you know.
And I think it's right in there with morality, spirituality, and that there is a creator.
Yes.
You can call it Allah, you can call it Jesus, you can call it, you know, God, but, you know, where did we come from? We came from creation, you know, and that's the connection, and that's the point of all of this, is we're a part of that. And
the Constitution. All the founding fathers. That's what the Constitution was about. With the God and God's the creator. Nature's God, and you know, He's the law of the universe.
The way I look at it is the Bill of Rights, our 10 Bill of Rights, our first 10 amendments to the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
The Bill of Rights is what I consider to be the founding document. And the Constitution came along to protect that Bill of Rights, to protect those 10 rights. And that's why they're the first 10 in the Constitution. But that's my take on it. And I may be wrong, but that's the way I look at it.
Yes, you're right.
You know,
you're right on.
And I think the 11th upward is a mistake. Like
I do, too.
If I hate anything, I hate the 11th Amendment, because in my injuries since I fought these traffic things. I've been nothing but injured by the state of New Mexico. And you run into this, the state of New Mexico is sovereign, and you can't sue the state for monetary damages. Is all you can do is go to the feds and ask them to tell the state to quit injuring you. And if the founding fathers wanted to set it up that way, then the whole rest of the Constitution they set up would be exactly the opposite of it, because they would never agree to that a state has sovereign immunity from going out and buying D9 Caterpillar bulldozers and going around running over the people right and left, and then the people, you know, are damaged, and there's nothing they can do about it except go to the federal courts and say, tell that state to quit running over me with the bulldozer, and the federal government will tell the state, okay, quit doing that, state, but then next month the state comes back and can do it again. The only way they'll stop doing it is if they begin to be damaged of its property, their property, money. And, you know, the 11th Amendment is, I've written it into the federal papers, it's a fraud. The statements in it are a fraud, so that the interpretation of the 11th Amendment would mean that the founding fathers, basically the way the courts have interpreted the 11th Amendment is the opposite of what it says, which is goes against what Anton Scalia said, that the Constitution means what it says and doesn't mean what it doesn't say. Well, they've interpreted the 11th Amendment exactly opposite of what it says, and I've written in the federal papers, some 207 of them, plus now another about 40, is that if that's the case, then that means the founding fathers knew that in the future that the people interpreting the Constitution would have extrasensory perception and would be able to deduce that, oh, well, they didn't really mean what they're saying here. They meant the opposite of it. And that's hogwash. And that's my ability, is to, when I see things that are dishonest, that are corrupt, I just get right after them at the tender-old age of 65.
Well, that's great. That's good.
Well, looking at it with that perspective, that if the state injures the people in the state, their only redress is to go to the federal government, that puts the federal government at the top of the food chain, with the states second and the people on the bottom, which is absolutely the upside-down pyramid as to what it is.
That's correct.
In the end, even over the state, the people are the bosses.
That's right.
If we can get enough people together to go to, say,
critical mass,
our government or our governor, and say, we're fed up with you. We don't like what you're doing. Get your butt out of our mansion.
Well, Robert might be able to chime in on this. Is I've just read in the Organic Act, but it's someone's opinion of what the Organic Act of 1871 had amounted to. But it's stating that it was either 1914 or 1918 that Washington, D.C. was formed, and it became U.S. Corporation. And
right.
Then between 1968 and 1971, that U.S. corporation in D.C. extorted every state in the Union to go corporate, become a state corporation.
Right. I've read that also.
Yeah, Robert, are you listening?
I'm listening.
Do you have knowledge of that?
Well, I don't know everything about it, but...
All
right. Yeah, they...
If that is true... That means, and it explains that it might be that it went U.S. corporation for Washington, D.C. in 1914, and by the 1918 election, anyone seated into Congress or Senate federally was seated in the corporate government, and then over time, all constitutionally seated members, you know, disappeared to where we have an unseated federal Congress and Senate now. And then the same thing happened in the states after 1968 to 1971, as new members were elected. They were seated in the corporate state government, and eventually the real Republican government lies empty. And
Well, you're right. You're right on that. You know, we didn't have back in those days. In fact, they've been, you know, they've been going at this for so long that they've got it. They took got it down to a science. But the biggest thing is people. You know, there wasn't the communication that we have now.
Correct.
And people trusted the government. And so they just, you know, they were just kind of went to sleep and just let the government do whatever they wanted instead of asking questions and staying on top of everything. And the greed took over, and that's just like people don't know that they're, you know, they're chattel for a loan. They don't realize that that they're the bond on the money that we needed. Because nobody, well, they quit teaching the Constitution. People don't even know what the Constitution says. And so the government's been able to, you know, the phony government, the corporate government, has been able to do whatever they wanted.
Yeah, Robert, you know, it's real interesting. In 1983, I actually went to court and petitioned to change my middle name. And my lawyer, I just looked at that document. My lawyer did my entire name in the small letters with just the first of each same capital letters. You know, this corporate all capital letters thing. But when the court approved it, it came back all capital letters.
Yeah.
And the judge that approved that was a powerhouse in the area or best known name judge. And I said, so this means that he knew what the all capital letters meant.
Yep.
Otherwise, they'd have left it the way that I petition the court. So, and I'm actually looking at that as, you know what, that's actually fraud on the court right there. And
well, it is,
that
because
that means that is null and void what occurred there.
That's right.
And this thing about traffic tickets, that you are you're the surety of the corporate fiction. You know, I looked at that and said, you know, I think you understand what I'm saying.
Well, the, you know, the Washington, D.C., you know, they have total power over Washington.
10-mile radius, right? 10-mile radius.
Right. They have total power there, but they're not supposed to have a power outside of that. But with people not knowing the Constitution or not paying attention to what the government was doing, they just kind of reached out and took control, and they just, you know, they put the state in positions where they needed money, and well, we'll give you the money if you, you know, so long as you follow what we say to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so it was
the
extortion and
the 68
fraud.
It's all fraud. It's all fraud. So.
Yep.
The capital letters is fraud and basically should be ignored. And that was my point of all that was
well, yeah, then
corporate.
But you know,
John would say that you don't want to go in and fight some little detail about whether it's capital letters or part of them are small letters. That's fraud. That's fiction.
Yeah, we try to stay away from the word game.
Gotcha.
But, you know, that's what they play. And, You know, it's just like these people that broke away from us because they wanted to rush right out and form these common law grand juries. You know, they've started playing the game, the word games and everything, and they ended up in prison. A lot
That's
of
right.
them.
That's right.
Impersonating
they're not getting anywhere, right? They're not getting. We're doing it the right way. They also
will not use the regular courthouse because it's not legitimate. Well, those courthouses belong to we the people. They are our courthouses. We just need to get the corporate people out of them.
Uh huh.
And so by those other groups not using the courthouse, what are they using? I mean, some of them are out there charging people big money to make up the papers and everything that they do. Where are they filing them? They're not. Maybe in their back pocket.
Well, they set up a shadow government.
How were they prosecuted and put in prison for impersonating
a government? They had nobody to prosecute. Anybody. They didn't have any, you know, they said, yeah, I'm a judge, you know, self-proclaimed.
I know Terry Trussell's in Florida got prosecuted for impersonating a government official, so it's something like that, apparently.
Well, he was part of the MLA, and he became...
He's a foreman for the grand jury,
Yeah, he became
right?
a jury foreman, and he decided he was going to take him over to a grand, you know, a common law grand jury. And he didn't have the teeth, you know, the backing. And so they arrested him and took him through court, and he's been in jail for a long time. And
illegally. That's terrible.
Yeah, it was illegal, but, you know, if you don't have the backing, then it's crazy to even try anything like that.
What does he need
the
backing, Robert?
That's why we haven't jumped into the grand jury thing any further than what we have, is we need backing, and that's why we're after the sheriff to do the right thing so that we have the sheriff backing us.
Completely understand that.
And
but,
we the people back the sheriff. Right, so it's right.
Well,
so
the sheriff is not going to do anything until he knows that the people are backing him.
Right,
they can't.
Well, you know, now with the sheriff's handbook, it is specifically explained to a sheriff that when you're about to put someone in your county prison, you need to look at the background of how he was arrested, how he was prosecuted. Was it a Nisi Prius court? Was there an indictment? Was there an injured party? And if any of those things didn't occur, then he would be breaking constitutional law by going through and imprisoning that person. And
then,
you're right, Robert.
That's very true. However, he is under the way the states have it set up. They've placed him under their control, and they've made it mandatory they have law enforcement certificate. So if that sheriff does what the state doesn't like, they pull his law enforcement certificate, and then he can't work in law enforcement. So without backing, he can't do the right thing.
Well, if he did the right thing, and I think he should do the right thing, he would then lose his job, and then he should turn around and sue his government because he was the one enforcing constitutional law.
Yeah, well, I agree. That would be that is what they should do. But you also can't blame them for not wanting to lose their job because they have a family to support.
That's right. I have to go offline. I've got a call coming in, folks. I'll be back.
Yeah, it's time to shut down anyway. So
all right.
All right. Well, thank you all for coming on. I do appreciate it. Very interesting talk. So we'll see you next week, same time?
Yes.
All right. Good night.
All right. Good night, y'all. Goodbye.
I'm going to turn the recording off.